Good morning, everyone. Looking unto the one who made me, Christ who died and lived to save me, skin for skin on Calvary's tree, who shed his blood for you and me. I'm counting all things as lost, my focus died upon the cross. Know him in the power of his resurrection. I continue to look in one direction, looking unto the one who made me, Christ who died and lives to save me, skin for skin on Calvary's tree. He shed his blood for you and me. I'm seeking the King of Kings, believing him in all things. Christ the source, the sustaining force. By his word, he keeps me right on course. I'm looking unto the one who made me, Christ who died and lives to save me, skin for skin on Calvary's tree. He shed his blood for you and me. Christ in me, putting forth his energy to will and work of his good pleasure. Living I'm Christ, the word rooted in me. I'm a branch in the vine, communing with him. I'm looking unto the one who made me, Christ who died and lives to save me, skin for skin on Calvary's tree. He shed his blood for you and me. Yeah, I'm looking unto the one who made me, Christ who died and lives to save me, skin for skin on Calvary's tree. He shed his blood for you and me.
That really rocks. That's a great, 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 great hymn. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for those who came out this morning. Father, bless us with your word. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your truth, that we might see and come to know better than ever before the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, make him the focus of our attention and this message. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I've entitled the message today, The Test of Time. And indeed, time is a test. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 88. Hello, folks. Come on in. Psalm 119:88. We're making great progress in Psalm 119, aren't we? Taking the blocks of the acrostic in each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you've arrived here, I'm sorry, verse 89. This is Lambda L. Every verse begins with L in the Hebrew. But that's not relevant to you because you're not going to remember those words, are you? Verse 89. Your word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. That's a great verse. All by itself. Even if the rest of it wasn't present. See, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter is established. Like in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Our verse says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled in heaven, therefore, it's settled forever on earth. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Word existed with God and as God from the beginning. Before there was anything else, the Word was. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There you go, Jehovah Witnesses. Not a God, the God. He was in the beginning with God. That's a beginningless beginning. That specifies the most ancient of times in the entire Bible. More ancient than Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. This is before God created anything. All things came into being through Him. He's the agent of all creation. He's the spoken word that brought material existence by nothing more than what He said. Light be. Just be. And it was. The great I Am said, light be, and it was. The I Am. See, be and I Am. And He is everything you need Him to be. In God's plan, He's everything. He has first place in everything. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And life was the light. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. The Word is God. Manifested in the second person of the Trinity. The one who left eternity and came into time to be the test of time. To be the I Am. That is the absolute source and essence of life. Creator, sustainer, redeemer, Lord and Savior, Almighty God, Jesus Christ. Verse 90, Psalm 119:90. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. By the Word of God, the world was created and continues to function, and it's fine. It thrives. It repairs itself. There's renewable resources. And that's all due to the Word of His power that holds the world, the material universe, and everything in it together. That's Colossians 1:16 and Hebrews 1:3. He holds all things together by the Word of His power. That means the metabolic structure of all things is held in place by the Word that is spoken, that was spoken, that created it. The Word made the world by the Word. Also made it for the Word. And the Word makes the world go round. All the principles that govern nature and physics, science, is contained in the Word, the power of the Word. You say, well, I don't see the power of the Word working. Well, it raised you from the dead when you believed. You say, well, I don't see that either. Well, this isn't something that you see. It's something that you hear and believe, and in the believing is the seeing. Seeing's not believing. Believing results in seeing. As the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, activates and animates. It's so that you might understand it and that it might function effortlessly inside of you and change you. See, change doesn't come easy. It takes great power to change anybody. Well, it changed you in a moment. From a dichotomous, spiritually dead person, if you believed in Christ, into a trichotomous person, restored at least in your basic human structure to the image and likeness of God. So now you're ready for the next phase, the final phase, which is the glorification of your human body, so that you might be just like Him. When you're just like Him, when you see Him, you'll be just like Him, for you'll see Him as He is. Those who have this hope purify themselves, even as He is pure. They want the most they can get. They want to be all they can be. And that's God's desire for every one of us, His intention for every one of us. To gather us up and glorify us, make us just like Christ. Will there be differences between believers in eternity? You bet. The ones that didn't want what God was offering won't have to take it, don't get it. Those who did will. It's as simple as that. It's all in what you want. God always gives you what you want. You know, if you want to go to the Rolling Stones concert, you can go with Lou. He even made it here after the Rolling Stones concert. See that? That's devotion. Dedication. Anyway, I digress. Verse 90, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. By the word settled and established from all eternity, the test of time will prove that the word is first and last. Fashioned and finished to be the will, work, and word of God. It'll be seen to be everything, all important. It reveals God in three persons. Brings us into a relationship, close personal relationship with Him. A relationship of love that nothing and nobody can separate you from. Once you know it, there's nothing else. There's nothing better. It'll make you more than you ever dreamed you could be in terms of personal stability, a personal sense of security, identity, and destiny. Motivated to the max to press on, to grasp the prize that waits at the end of the race is Christ Himself. He's the prize and the prize giver. He's Barbios, the prize, and Barbion, the prize giver. Both. You know what makes heaven heaven? Jesus Christ is there. That's what makes heaven heaven. And He is phenomenal. That's not even a good enough word. That's understatement. He is such a magnanimous person, infinite person, wonderful person, beautiful person. He's altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. And it will be the great pleasure of eternity to be in His presence and to stand with Him, to walk with Him, maybe to walk with Him hand in hand through the New Jerusalem, down the streets of gold in the New Jerusalem. Won't that be wonderful? I hope you want that. I do. Because there's nothing better. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed to hold the hand of the Lord. He's a male, isn't he? That all changes. That all changes. It's just real love. That's all. Not what passes for love in this world, which isn't love at all. It's a very thin line between love and hate. Somebody says to a significant other, I love you, I love you, I love you. And one day said, I don't love you anymore. Somebody prettier, more interesting comes along, and they push the other one aside like they were garbage. That's love. That's human love. That's how that works. I mean, that's how it doesn't work. God's love isn't like that. It's not based on the loveliness of the object, but of the integrity and virtue of the subject, who's God. So, nothing that you hear, nothing that you see, nothing you think or speak overrides or compares with the power and preeminence of the Word, that is, the living Word, Jesus Christ, and the spoken Word, which is the mind or the thinking of Christ. The many opinions that we hear, that people have, propositions and plans, the plans of men do not placate or subdue one jot or tittle of the living Word. It stands because it's forever established in heaven. See, life is in the Word. Human life, animal life, plant life, and all that serves it was established by the Word of God and continues on to the end of human history. All life exists by, for, and because of the Word. Now, you always think, when you think the Word, I hope you think like I do, the living Word and the written Word, both pointing to one, coming from one and pointing to one, Jesus Christ, the object, the subject, and the author of all Scripture. The Word existed always, and ever before the world and ever after will be the source and force of the eternal life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. When he said to Peter, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no fellowship with me. And they said, that's a hard saying. Who can hear it? And he said to Peter, are you going to go too? He says, you alone have the words of eternal life. Where shall we go? There's nowhere else to go. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. My fingers are so nimble, I can separate pages sometimes. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away. His word will never pass away. Now, I've spent so much time in the Psalms, because we did the Psalms of David, now Psalm 119, that I wrote one of my own. Oh, magnify the Word. This just came out of my soul when I was doing this. Oh, magnify the Word with me, all you His people. Sing and shout the Word of the Lord, all you ends of the earth. Let heaven's light shine into and throughout the earth. Let all shadows flee from His presence, from the light of the glory of His countenance. Let all the angels of God worship the Word. There's my soul. That's Psalm 1, Scott Warren. Human author. Not inspired, but I was inspired to write it. Psalm 69:30. We'll exegete that next time we meet. No, we won't. Or we'll exegete it. That's what we'll do. Psalm 69:34 says, let heaven and earth praise Him, which indeed it does. The seas and everything that moves in them. Which reminds me of my favorite psalm, Psalm 150, the final psalm, which I may or may not read today. Let men bow and swear allegiance to the Word of God, God the Word, world without end. Amen. He's the essence of life and the reason for man's existence and for human history. The controller, sovereign controller of human history. Nothing gets past him. Nothing skates by the justice of God. No, it doesn't ever. You think it does, but it doesn't. You said, well, there's no justice in this world. Oh, everything will come and receive its just deserts. Everything will. Don't worry about that. Because God has to. That's who he is. And he always judges justly, which means he gives each man what's due to him and gives everyone a fair shake. He's fair. That's what just means. It means fair. It means he's kind and severe. Both. Behold the kindness and the severity of the Lord. Romans 11:22. Don't forget that. Don't mess around with God. Since he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. Fear him and you won't fear anything or anybody else. So, everything on earth is invested and controlled internally and externally by the Word. If you believe that, if you see that and know that, it changes everything for you. Your whole experience in you, in history, in the over the course of your life and in time. Every independent, voluntary, and dependent, involuntary action gets its just desert from the Word. That is, will answer to the Word. Everybody will answer to the Word for everything. The Word, the Word, the Word. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge you, but there's one who judges you. The Word that I spoke will judge you on the last day. There's the Word. You say, well, nobody told me about that, or I didn't know it. Ignorance isn't an excuse. Since you have it, all 31,731 verses. How many of them you read? How many you know? How many you use? Not very many. None of us do. We need to, though. We need to orient to that Word. Because the Word is your life, the spiritual life of the believer. The very life of God. Because, see, as a man thinks, so is he. So if you think God's thoughts, you have God's life. His life is in his Word. You say, well, what about the Spirit? Oh, the Spirit is the dynamic equivalent. The filling of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit is dynamic equivalent with the Word of God. The words that I speak unto you are Spirit and life, Spirit and life, Spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. Psalm 12:1, a song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Did you know that? You say, well, I slip all the time. Well, you're not trusting him. He won't let your foot slip. He who keeps you never sleeps. You know, I was doing something late at night and I cried out to God and he said, leave me alone, I'm sleeping. He doesn't sleep. And neither will you in eternity. Won't that be good? You'll be wide awake, aware, alert, and experience everything. Day, there's no night, so how can you sleep? See, there's no light from the moon or the sun, and no need of a light or a lamp. You know why? Because there's no night. It's one continuous day. And there's nothing that marks day and night, therefore there's no more time. Time is gone. Eternity exists. The eternal day. One day that never ends. Well, I'm going to want to sleep. No, you won't. You don't want to miss anything. So he says, behold, he who keeps, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not sleep. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's aware of everything that's going on in the world, and he's not alarmed by it at all. He's in control of all of it. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand when it's a little too hot out. The sun will not smite you by day. People always say, you better stay out of the sun because you're going to get skin cancer. Oh, really? I don't believe that. I don't. You say, well, then you're denying all science. No, I'm not. God's sunshine, it comes down from heaven and shines on the just and the unjust, doesn't shine on us to give us skin cancer. You might need a case of skin cancer to turn to the Lord. That may be the reason. He spares no means. He knows what it takes to get and keep your attention. And that's just one example, and a poor one at that. But the Lord's in control. I don't care about those things. If that happens to me, so be it. I'm not worried about skin cancer. I'm not worried about nothing. Honey? The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. I'm not moonstruck. I don't grow long facial hair and fangs at night like a werewolf. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul that is safe. You'll be saved, safe, and eternally secure. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. He'll bring you safely through to His eternal kingdom. No matter what happens, no matter what kind of plot the enemy has against you, the plan of God is greater than the plot. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. Verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. See, without the Word, the world makes no sense. And we are just biological mutations of lower life forms that will live and die without understanding and then cease to exist forever. But even ontologically, that is, if you take what people know to be so, intuitively, we'll live on forever. And the Bible defines that in one of two places. We will spend eternity. Not like the girl, I told some of them in the coffee room this morning, the girl that lived when I had my business over in Pittsburgh, that lived right behind my business establishment, and she came to me and she said, you know, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, do you know where you're going to go when you die? She said, yeah, we bought two plots at the Mount Lebanon Cemetery. I said, oh, no. I mean, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? She goes, oh, we don't believe in any of that, S.H. I said, oh, that's tragic. That's tragic. She didn't believe in that. We don't believe in that. We're just going to die and go into the ground like an animal, like a monkey. So, one of your rock and roll prophets put it like this as he describes the life and plight of unregenerate man. This also serves to commemorate the historic visit, probably the last one, of the California Raisins. I mean, the Rolling Stones. Who, by the way, have gathered some moss. You know, a Rolling Stone gathers no moss, eh? Isn't that clever? In their hit song, Monkey Man, man is just like a monkey, and his soul is little more than an inconvenience. He says, I'm a flea-bit peanut monkey. All my friends are junkies. That's not true. Well, I'm just a monkey man. I'm glad that you're a monkey woman, too. They play that last night? Huh? Or don't you remember? I was bitten by a boar, I was gouged, and I was gored, but I pulled through. Yes, I'm a sack of broken eggs. I always have an unmade bed, don't you? Well, I hope we're not too messianic or a trifle too satanic. You are. Sympathy for the devil. We love to play the blues. Well, I'm just a monkey man. I'm glad you're a monkey. Monkey woman, too. Babe. I'm a monkey, I'm a monkey, I'm a monkey. Yes, you are. So, verse 93. I couldn't wait to do that. I love stuff like that. It's hilarious. That's the way the world sees it. I love that song. It's my favorite. Why? Because that's what I am. I'm a monkey. I believe you are. I believe you came from monkeys. You did. At least you. None of the rest of us. I know I didn't, but I believe you did. Because you act just like a monkey. Monkeys are vile creatures. They're violent creatures. So, verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. What he's saying is, when I swoon, your precepts catch me and revive me. When I faint. Without the word, I'm just like a beast. When I forget, you remind me. When I get lost, you find me. And I've forgotten and been lost. And he's found me and reminded me. See, what people think and say I am causes me sometimes to pause. That which I am, that which God has said and declared and told me I am, revives me, and then I press on. He has to remind me of who I am, of whose I am. The Son of the Most High God. Yes, I am. And so are you, or a daughter of the Most High God. In Christ, there is no gender distinction. Everybody has the same equal privilege and opportunity, the same potential for spiritual intelligence, IQ. And to have, to receive, to be capacitated to receive every reward that God has slated for you in eternity. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places has been slated for you. Monogrammed for you. Tailor-made for you. So don't miss out. Don't lose out. So, verse 94. I am yours. See, I told you. You belong to him. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The psalmist is saying, I am your child by your doing. It's a matter of paternity. As a son, I live under the ban. What's that mean? It means I can't take anything from man. I get everything from God. I depend on God for everything. I don't depend on man for anything. You say, shouldn't you depend on man? Not ultimately. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. You want to be under a curse? Then trust man. I can tell you one thing. You trust man, you'll always be disappointed. But if you trust in God, those who trust in the Lord are never disappointed. Never. Never. It doesn't matter if it's a husband or wife. You can't ultimately trust in man. Or in your own humanity. You can't trust in your own humanity. You're no different, no better than anybody else. Or are you? Well, you might think you are, but you're not. If any man thinks he's something when all of us are nothing, he deceives himself. Galatians 6:2. You don't want to be self-deceived. Or preoccupied with yourself. It's the most miserable life possible. You got to get out of yourself. Look away from yourself unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. So, I live under the ban and under the threat. It's a continuous threat of the enemy. Therefore, I rely daily on your word that saves me, and I seek your word early every day. That's the way you have to live in the devil's world. I live just as Christ, the unique and perfect Son, did. That's how I live. A day without the word is a wasted day. You wasted a day. A day without the word is a day without the filling of the Spirit. It's because it's dynamic equivalence. Spirit has nothing to use, no point of appliance if you don't have the word in your soul. If you don't have the fresh word residing and circulating, just like the manna that you gathered morning by morning, get it every day, get it early, before the sun comes up and melts it. And there is nothing to eat. Because the day will just take you over. And you will be controlled by your circumstances that day instead of by the word of God. And walk on a crooked path rather than a straight one. Some of you know what I mean. Others don't have any idea because their path is crooked every day for that very reason. You have to try these things and put God to the test and see if he won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too great for you to contain, not for you and for others. He does that. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about tithing your time, giving God a block of time every day, preferably, and as we're commanded to do, the first portion of our time. Get out of bed, smell the bacon, Ty said. Smell that bacon, and then all of a sudden you got an appetite for it, for breakfast. With that bacon, is that bacon I smell? Bacon, eggs, toast. I'm not even hungry unless I smell the, when I smell the bacon, I am. And it's the Word and the fragrant aroma of Christ, the Word. It draws us to the Word, keeps us moving forward. So, a day without the Word, because it is spiritual equivalence with the filling of the Spirit, is a day without the Spirit. John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you, they're Spirit and life. There it is. When I rise from slumber, smell the bacon, I'm suddenly hungry for your Word. See, how can the day star arise when we don't arise to give attention to the light of truth? Can't. See, we are to pay attention to the Word of God as though it were the only light in an otherwise pitch black place till the day star, till the day dawns and the day star arises in our hearts. That means until we're focused and occupied with Jesus Christ every day. He's the day star that rises in your heart. And what does that? The Word, by agency of the Spirit, the dual sanctifying agent of your Christian spiritual life, the one who will fulfill that life and a requirement of God in you as God wills and works, as Vicki sang about this morning, according to his own good pleasure. Wills and works inside of you according to his own good pleasure. How do you think that happens? By the Word. That's the only way you can will and work inside of you, by the Word. That Word that is residing in your heart, that's circulating through the body of your soul, that's illuminating every dark corner. And we all have dark corners that need illuminated. And the result will be light and life. Darkness doesn't help you. And darkness is eliminated by light. They're diametric opposites. So, the beginning of wisdom, you know what the beginning of wisdom is? Get it! That's the beginning of wisdom. Get wisdom is the beginning of wisdom. How do you begin unless you don't, I mean, how can you get it unless you begin to get it? That's what it says. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. Proverbs 6:16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Do you believe that? I do. I know it's true. And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Oh, believers don't even know that or do that or think that's true. They'd rather have silver and gold. But I'll tell you what, that'll all change when they're struck hard by reality in the presence of Jesus Christ. The idea is to get beat here by the Word so you don't get beat up there. And you don't beat yourself out of the great treasure and pleasure that God has in store for you. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire it. And if it costs you everything you have, get understanding. That's how important it is. I mean, that's what God says anyway, but, you know, you may disagree with him. And if you do, it's to your own detriment. With all your getting, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. That is a livya, a winner's wreath of grace. You'll be a grace star. A grace winner. A grace believer that becomes a grace winner. She will present you with a crown of beauty. No matter how physically attractive or unattractive you are. We'll all be good looking there. And better looking here if you got the Word inside of you. You're much better looking if you have the Word inside of you. Did you ever study your face? If you were ever inebriated in life at some point, many, many years ago, did you ever look at your face in the mirror? It'd scare you. You look real ugly, no matter who you are. See the picture of Nick Nolte, his mugshot? That's what you look like. Only worse, because he's a handsome man. See how bad he looked? Woo! Not to mention Pee Wee Herman when he got arrested. Poor Pee Wee. What were we doing? Oh, we were talking about something. Oh, Proverbs 4:7. Okay, no more humor. I'm not here to entertain you. Although I'm doing a good job. Maybe I have a career ahead of myself, like not the ministry anymore. I'll just be a stand-up comedian. For money. So it says, prize her, she will exalt you, she will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with the crown of beauty. Hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Many happy years ahead. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Psalm 23:6. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That means make sure your heart is filled with the Word. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Your word is forever established in heaven. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Verse 95, Psalm 119. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently or urgently consider your testimonies. While the wicked wait for me, I'm found waiting for your testimony. Deep in thought, considering your goodness, kindness, love, and grace. While they're waiting for their opportunity to shoot me or to burn me, I'm armor-plating my soul with your word, soaking my shield in the water of the word that makes me bulletproof and fireproof. They're waiting to shoot and burn me. Well, I'm bulletproof and fireproof. The wicked flee when no one chases, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. That's Proverbs 28:1. No one can touch me. And guess what? The enemy can't even find me. Psalm 27:3. You can turn there. Psalm 27:3. Keep your finger in 119. Or your marker in there. If you're so sophisticated as to have a bookmark. Or on your, what do you call those things? The little computer things that you have? That's how up to date I am with technology. Tablet. Your tablet. Yeah. Put a bookmark in. Anyway. Psalm 27:3. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this I shall be confident. One thing I have asked the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. See, that's all we have. He's all we have. He's everything. He's the I Am. Everything you need Him to be. Colossians 3:1-3. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The devil can't even find you. You're hid with Christ in God. You've got to go through Christ and God first to get you. Or you have to forsake your own well-being. Of these things the Word assures us. You can't believe these things unless the Word has been animated and activated by the Holy Spirit. So you've been deeply persuaded that they are true. Not because you fully understand anything, but because of who said it. The one who is utter veracity. That is, truthfulness, who cannot lie. The one who said, verily, 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 I say unto you. That's Jesus, who is the manifestation of God's veracity, and spoke the Word and is the Word, and evermore shall be. When we see Him coming from heaven in the procession, in the second advent, He has a name written on His thigh. It says, the Word of God. And His vestures dipped in blood. He will avenge the justice of God and destroy all of the Lord's enemies. For the Lord is a man of war. So, even though my disapproval rating among men is very high, when I live that way, my approval from God, the approval of God is what I seek. That is, by faith. It's impossible to please Him any other way. Not by works, but by faith. Verse 96. We're almost done. Hang in there. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. In a perfect world, perfection will be the requirement. Until then, faith is righteousness. See? Not perfection, but faith is righteousness. Your faith and God's doing, because everything He does is perfect. All His ways are perfect. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Psalm 32:4, or Deuteronomy 32:4. Though excellence in what we do makes a huge difference, perfection is impossible. That's where the perfect Word picks up the slack. For the Lord tells us all to only trust, to hear and believe, to watch and wait for Him to will and work. Those who do so are never disappointed. Are you ever disappointed in yourself? That just goes to show you were trusting in yourself. And you can't trust in yourself or anyone else. The perfectionist, if you've ever known any, is rigid, frigid, frustrated. The realist with real faith accomplishes the impossible because God works all things together. That is, he works out all the details. There's those who think that the goal is perfection and who are imprisoned or confined by the details. I'd rather be graced out than perfect any day. I'd rather be free to move about than to be squeezed by details. I'm very careful to hear the word, but live carefree like a bird. I fly wherever his spirit takes me. I'm a careful listener and a carefree liver. I'm a careful listener and a carefree liver. If you don't like what I say, you surely will hate what I think. If you really want to live, leave the details to God. Commit your way to the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. The best laid plans of mice and men will get you in the rat trap or the hamster wheel. Ever see a hamster on a wheel? Running around, round and around, running very, very fast and going nowhere. With the mind, man makes all of his plans, but the outcome belongs to the Lord. He directs his steps. If one chooses and learns to walk with God consistently, he will be more, do more, give more, get more, and have more than he ever thought possible. Put him to the test. See if he won't live up to his word. What can you lose except your miserable life and existence for something far better, the very life of God contained in the word of God? See, because God will do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine, when he wills and works on our behalf according to his approval of us in Christ. That's the point. Psalm 37:12, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him. That is the wicked. For he sees his day coming. Oh, your day's coming. My dad used to say to me, your day's coming. I can't wait till your day comes. That is when you got to deal with kids, rebellious kids, teenagers. It came and went. And I'm still here. But not all my kids are. And it's dangerous out there. Deadly. Solomon warns us to be careful not to be too righteous. That is, try, you know, always strive for perfection. Oh, I'm perfect. Because that way you mask what you say you believe, that Christ is your righteousness. And you, instead, will receive the applaud and approval of men. Oh, he's so righteous. Thank you very much. I am, you're right. No, you're not. So, Ecclesiastes 7:16 says, do not be, turn there so you can see this. Ecclesiastes 7:16. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Not too far back. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm. No, that's the first part. Ecclesiastes 7:16. Here's one that you probably don't know. This is a great refrigerator verse. If you put verses on the refrigerator, and we should all do that from time to time. I don't put them on the refrigerator. I put them on my vintage desk lamp in the garage so I can see it. Then after about 2 to 3 years, I take it off. And I should have it by then, looking at it every day. So it says, do not be excessively righteous and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? You know, in other words, my standards are so high I can't even live up to them. I'd just be a frustrated mess. Verse 17 says, do not be excessively wicked and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? That means you die. God will take you out. It's good that you grasp one thing and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. He's balanced. He has a balanced life. See, his commandment is exceedingly broad. It makes you free from care and worry, gives you a balanced and happy life, and eliminates the hyper-religious, judgmental, elitist, holier-than-thou attitude for which believers are rightly despised. Nothing's worse than self-righteous arrogance. Nothing. Makes my skin crawl when it comes from me or from anybody else. See, if you're saved and accepted by grace and through faith, apart from all semblance of work, certainly from perfection, then live and let others live who, like you, could never measure up. That's what Peter told James and the others in the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15:9. He said, and he made no distinction between us and them, that is the Gentiles and the Jews, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. So if you do these things, if you live this way, you think this way, live according to the word, you'll be blessed. And you will have passed the test of time. The test of time is so that you might come to believe and to trust the one in whom you believe. And be persuaded that he's able to keep that which you committed unto him against that day. I talk all the time about drinking and gambling and adultery, fornication, and other forms of recreation. All of which believers do in wicked disregard of God's law. But I don't have to live your life. And I'm not the Lord over anyone's faith. I'm a lowly shepherd whose love and devotion to the good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd, is to feed his sheep. The sheep are his, and they'll answer to him. I'm here to lead and feed you in grace pastures by quiet, reflective pools under Christ, of course, and to set the table so you can feast in the presence of your enemies as you sit and sup with Jesus Christ here, in order that you may sit and reign with him there. Only those who pass the test of time will be privileged to do so. We're all invited to do so, but only those who pass the test will be privileged to do so. Time is the opportunity to believe God and to learn God's Word. That's what you're here for. I told you it's first, foremost, the most rare and precious commodity on the earth to find in someone's soul. Therefore, make the most of your time upon the earth, as it tells us in Ephesians 5:16, and stop monkeying around. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for those who carefully listen to it. Father, may it be applied in the power of God and bring it back to our memories. Revive us by it so that we might understand that this is it. This is why we're here. Did you ever wonder why you were here? You think it's you're here to be a good father or a good mother? Oh, it's Father's Day, by the way. Happy Father's Day. I don't follow traditions. I think traditions are a travesty in most instances. Especially when they're substituted for the true Word of God. All you fathers, stand up today. Come on, let's applaud all the fathers. Let's applaud God the Father, who sent His only Son, who died in our stead, died instead of us, did for us what we could never do for ourselves, so that he might give us life, eternal life and abundant life, by the word of God. We thank you for these things, Father. Bless the offering also. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.